Okay, y'all help me remember. The last time we were talking about the pros and cons of vaccinating our children, which one did we start with? Did we start with the pros first, or did we start with the cons first? Because whichever way we started before, I'd like to start with the opposite this time. Just trying to give people equal time, you know what I'm saying? And I'm kind of thinking I started with the cons first. Did I start with the con first? Did I start with the pro first? Y'all help me out now. I'm thinking, And I know I did point out to you that the pros, those who are in favor of vaccinating our children have a much longer list than those who are opposed to us vaccinating our children. And I wanted to give equal time to each side. But at the same time, you know, I was a little torn because I was thinking, okay, I want to give equal times by giving roughly the same amount of pros and cons, same number of pros and cons. But at the same time, and this is where my dilemma comes in, I was thinking, okay, even though it may be good to give roughly the same number of pros and cons, if the pros have a whole lot more to list, to suggest, to think about, to consider than the cons, should I go ahead and share all of the pros, despite the fact that I think there may be somewhere in the neighborhood of, I don't know, 8, 10 more pros than cons? I don't remember the exact number, but I'm debating that. And so don't be surprised if by the time I get close to the end, I announce that I'm going to go ahead and share all of the cons and all of the pros, even though the pros significantly outnumber the cons. I mean, that may mean something to you. So I don't know what information will we possibly be missing out on if we don't share all of the pros, despite the fact that the number of pros significantly outnumber the number of cons. So I may go that way. Don't be surprised. Okay, let's do this. Like I said, I don't remember where I started before, but I'm going to start with the pros this time, because you're going to get the pros and the cons either way. So let's start with the pros. The people who are saying we should vaccinate our children. One of the things they say is that the vaccines protect the quote unquote herd, H-E-R-D, the herd immunity or community immunity. The herd immunity or community immunity means that when a critical portion of a population, with the critical portion being the percent of people who need to be vaccinated in order to provide herd or community immunity. The critical portion is the percent of people who need to be vaccinated in order to provide herd or community immunity. All right. So this immunity means that when a critical portion of a population is vaccinated against a contagious disease, it's unlikely that an outbreak of the disease will occur. So most members of the community will be protected. Children and adults who cannot be vaccinated due to age or poor health, for example, people who are immune compromised or people who are undergoing chemotherapy, people who cannot be vaccinated due to age, poor health, or other reasons, rely on herd immunity. I do like the phrase community immunity better, in order to prevent contraction of vaccine-preventable diseases. There was a January 2008 outbreak of measles in San Diego, California, and it resulted in 48 children who had to be quarantined because they were too young to be vaccinated and could not rely on community immunity. or as they frequently call it, herd immunity, to keep them safe. They call it herd immunity, but for my purposes, just because I just like the sound of community immunity better than I like the sound of herd immunity when we're referring to people, I'm going to refer to the phrase community immunity from here on out. Okay. In 2011, 49 U.S. states did not meet the 92 to 94% community immunity threshold for pertussis, also known as whooping cough. And that resulted in a 2012 outbreak that sickened 42,000 people and was the biggest outbreak since 1955. In 2005, an 18-month-old Amish girl contracted polio, and then she spread the disease to four other unvaccinated children. But because the community met the community immunity threshold for the disease, there was no polio outbreak. Yes, indeed, four other children who had not been vaccinated did contract the disease. But fortunately, four people contracting the disease does not equate to an outbreak. Although you can imagine the families of those four children were probably devastated. Okay, so that's a pro. That's our fifth pro. Let's go to our fifth con. And again, they're saying, no, we don't want our children vaccinated. We are against that. They say that vaccines can contain ingredients that some people consider immoral or otherwise objectionable. There are some DTaP, IPV, HIV combination, some hepatitis A, hepatitis B combination, or just Hep A or MMR, and chickenpox vaccines. These are cultivated in cells from two fetuses that were aborted in the 1960s, they say, listed as MRC5 and WI38 on package inserts. The Catholic Church in a June 9, 2005 report about using vaccines made using cells from aborted fetuses indicated that there is a grave responsibility to use alternative vaccines to avoid the quote-unquote evil of actively or passively participating in anything that involves voluntary abortion. I wanted to give you a few moments of silence to let you think about that. Some vaccines for DTaP, hepatitis A, RV, HIV, HPV, IPV, flu, MMR, and chickenpox are made using animal products like chicken eggs, bovine casein, insect cells, cocker spaniel cells, pig gelatin, and cells from African green monkeys, making those vaccines conflict with some vegetarian and vegan philosophies. Others consider it problematic that some vaccines are produced using human albumin, which is a blood plasma protein. What are your thoughts about that? Last week I was asking you what you think about the whole issue of rights being a part of the conversation. What do you think about these, as they put it, ethical issues? I'll be right back.